Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Renovation without breaking the bank or your sanity. Quantity surveyor Patricia Power and Sarah Twig Doyle from Retwig Stylist, both with me in studio to answer all of your questions. How are you doing, first of all? All
great.
Good?
Yeah.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Get your questions and queries into us. Before we do that, we were talking about estate agents using artificial intelligence to spruce up pictures, photographs of homes, you know, or apartments that they're selling. Clearly marked, though, was, you know, an AI visualization or how it might look. Do you have any issue with that, Patricia?
Do you know what? I think if they clearly say it's, you know, this is an enhancement and it could look like this, okay? But to represent the existing and what they're purchasing at the moment, definitely not. But I suppose it does give that element of assistance to people who can't visualise. And there's a lot of people out there, and I meet them day in, day out. They can't read drawings. They can't really understand it unless there's a 3D representation and it's in colour and they get a feel for what I can do to this, you know?
I think it probably works if you've got, say, a developer's house. So, for example, if a developer has gone in, there's nothing else in the property, so it's completely empty. I've seen it done where they've then used AI to see, to show you what it would look like with, you
like know, a showroom or something.
Yeah, exactly. Turning a blank room into a show house style. So I do see that because I think, you know, if you're seeing a load of blank rooms, it may not give you an idea how you might use those rooms.
A lot of people get in touch about this today, and, you know, I would say our listeners were fairly split. A lot of people too thought that it was kind of, you know, nearly false advertising or misleading representation. If listeners want to listen back, that podcast is available. It's on the Go Loud app. You can simply subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. We are talking about renovating your home. Where do you start first of all, Patricia?
Oh gosh, okay. I suppose first thing is you need to set a budget, right? And that really has to be realistic.
Now, like a real budget or a budget that is slight movement?
No, I suppose what it is how much money do you have and what do you want to do? And then you need to do your list of what you want to do against your budget and see, is it real and where do I start? And I always say to people, put it in order of priority. What is top of the list? And then what's second, what's third? And further down, what you can live without, you know? So the first thing is, what is a complete necessity? So you kind of have to weigh it up. As I say to people, 9 times out of 10, your budget will not match your wish list. You know, you can't afford to do everything that you want to do. So you do have to cut and carve, and you do have sometimes tough decisions to make. So it's, I suppose, it's starting out, what is your real budget? Not the budget that you tell someone you've another 30 grand in your back pocket. So I like people to be honest and tell me what they have. You know, it's understandable some situations as time runs on, they might be able to gather more funds and money. But initially, I think everybody's working together. And I think you have to be upfront with what your real budget is.
What advice do you come across we tend to make?
I always think, you know, you want to put your money into the fabric of the building, really. So you want to improve what you have. Like, fancy kitchens are really nice and everybody's focuses on the fancy kitchens and the fancy bathrooms and all of those. But to me, if you get your bricks and mortar and the bones right of the building, you know, so getting it up to speed in terms of its ecology and, you know, putting the right things into the building, you can get a secondhand kitchen. And that can make you do until you can afford the fancy one. So I always think it's the structural issues that you tackle first, and that's where you put your money. And I mean, they're the boring things. They're the things that nobody really wants to spend money on.
087 1400 106 listener questions coming in. Right. Is it cheaper to add an extension rather than to move house, or which is the less stressful? I prefer to move. My partner wants to renovate.
Oh gosh, that is really between kind of the two people themselves. But look, there's pros and cons. The advantage, I suppose, of staying where you are is, and really it is location, location, location. That's what I say to people. If this is where you're settled, the school's in the area, you're happy, your kids are happy, you know, you have your supermarket's near, your coffee shop, etc. So it's down to location. If this works for you, then I would stay, extend and refurb. You know, I think it's more if you're not happy in the location, then I would move. That would be it. I wouldn't put it down to extension or refurb. I think it's location, location, location.
But I would also say, you know, there's always a ceiling price. So if you're thinking that you're going to renovate or extend, it may be that whatever money you sink into that extension, you'll never see back, you know. So if you do the extension and then in 3 or 4 years' time you still want to move, you may have spent all that money on an extension that you then don't claw that money back. So, I mean, ask an estate agent for a valuation of your home currently. Yeah. If you extended, how much value would that add? Would it be enough? I mean, I know, for example, we've looked into that for ourselves. We were told categorically it wouldn't make enough difference for the money it would cost to do.
We have a house we're renovating, which has a bedroom with old floorboards. They're a bit uneven. The painters told us that they aren't worth staining. Should we just paint the floor and put a big rug on the floor, or perhaps put down new carpet?
Well, I suppose, by the sounds of it, they are not level, and they, something's happened over time, and they're undulating, they're moving, they're warped. So look, the cheap option is to, you could sand them and try and level them and paint them and stain them and then put down a big carpet, really. Or you just carpet the room. So either or, to be honest, the cheaper option would be to carpet the room.
Listeners wondering, Sarah, if when we're thinking of renovating our home at the moment, should we start with how we visualise the finished look, what we want it to look like? How do we work backwards?
Well, it comes back to what Patricia said about money. It's what's your budget? So what are the things that you want to achieve from this? So maybe sit down and think realistically, how am I going to use this space? What are these rooms going to be designed for? So no, I mean, I think how a room looks is the last thing on the list of the priorities. You know, you want to get your functionality and your flow right. Things like your lighting, all of those are much more key to what colour choices you use.
This texter, Patricia, says, we've decided to renovate. We're wondering, who do we need to engage first? The builder, the quantity surveyor, or the architect?
The architect. Always first. The architect is your first point to call, because they're going to assess your home and they're going to say, look, again, as Sarah said, very important, the flow of the house, how it works for you. You know, do you have enough space, or do you need a small extension, or do you go up in the attic or whatever? So 100% an architect. And they'll be able to say, you know, by looking at it generally, what your kind of existing rating is. Do you want to invest in that? Do you want to upgrade, replace your windows, insulate, rewire, replumb? So architect, first port to call. After that, QS to put costing on that. Third then would be your builder.
So that's the order they're going. For Sarah, what design mistakes are the hardest or the most expensive to fix later? We're just looking at a new renovation at home at the moment.
Well, I always think about your, again, back to the flow of the home, flooring. I see so many times where people don't consider the flooring throughout. So if you think of a flooring that's going to work through the entire, I mean, it depends. If you have an enormous house, fair play. Mm-hmm. But if your house is relatively small and you've got different flooring and different rooms, I always think that's a real letdown for space, and it curbs the flow. So flooring is a big one. So looking for a flooring that's going to fit into, you know, your hallway, it's going to fit into your kitchen, it's going to fit into your living space, so it flows from space to space. And there are so many amazing waterproof options out there that allow you to use the one flooring throughout.
087 1400 106. Keep your questions coming in for Sarah and Patricia this afternoon. If you need steel, what kind of money are we talking about?
Oh, God.
Because I had a complete aversion to steel. No steel. Because I just knew it was going to be too much money.
Okay. It just depends what the extent, what is it for? You know, there's like, in fairness, where possible, if it's a breakout, sometimes you can get away with using precast lintels, you know, and bearing pads, so you avoid steel. So it depends on the size and depends what you're doing. Like, it really is an open-ended question. Don't be afraid of steel, you know. That's what I would say to you. Like, it works. You need it. Your structure has to hold up, so it needs a frame. Otherwise, you know, it's a good investment. It is an essential investment, and it has to be done. You know, you will find after the architect, more than likely the design will go to an engineer who will put the frame on those drawings to make your building stand. You need that. That is an essential item, needs to be done. Forget, you know, all the finishes, nice finishes, kitchens in the world are great, but without a frame, your building is not going to stand up.
Listeners wondering if you can, I know you have pen and paper there, if you can just give us a rough, you know, ballpark figure, what's the average cost of a renovation at the moment? Like, just to give us a a kind of a rough idea what we're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so if I'm talking one of mine that would cross my desk, and this is a full upgrade, and when I say that, I mean a rewire, replumbing, insulation, windows. Sometimes you might have to re-roof. So it's full upgrade. And then once you do that, you're into the knock-on effect of it's all finishes, sanctuary, new kitchen. So I'm seeing at the moment anything from probably 350 to 500 euros a square foot. And that is down to the standard of finishes. Everyone has different standards. Mm-hmm. You could be putting solid engineered floors in, semi-solid. You know, it just depends what you're putting in. You could put in a 20 grand kitchen. Some people are putting in a 50 grand kitchen. So the finishes element will cost more than what you think it's going to cost.
But you said roughly what, 300 to 500 per square foot.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Where would you get kitchen press doors sprayed? You mentioned buying secondhand ones, Sarah.
There are loads of companies now that will do that for you. I know definitely in the Dublin area there's a kitchen respray company. But I think if you go online and Google kitchen resprays, so many companies out there now offering that service.
Probably chance painting it yourself.
You can absolutely paint it yourself. Painter. I mean, look, all you need to do is take off your doors, give them a really good clean, really good sand, two coats of extremely good primer. That's your stage. Yeah. Do not skip it. Yeah. Use a really good roller to roll it on. Let it dry, give yourself 24 hours, and then you can do your two coats of your finish.
We've creaky floorboards. What should we do? Any thoughts on dealing with that?
Do you know what? Sometimes it's expansion and contraction of the floorboards. So sometimes they're rubbing off each other. So maybe a little bit of sanding between them so they don't rub and they don't squeak. So it just depends, or it needs a little bit of stability, a bit more fixing down.
One simple change, Sarah, that just might make a big impact when renovating. What should I spend money on?
Again, it's the fabric of the building. That's the thing. You know, it's your floors, it's your lighting, it's thinking about storage. I mean, storage costs money. It costs a huge amount of money, but let's be real. That's the thing you need to spend your money on. You need to think about, you know, what do you need to store? Where do you need to store it? And how are those rooms going to function? So it's always, for me, it's starting about the bare bones, the function, and what I'm going to be doing in that room.
What size extension, this listener wants to know, is exempt from planning permission? We're wondering if we might be able to get a porch built.
It's huge. It was 40 square metres, and they are, I believe, extending that now to 45 square metres, but that is only to the rear of your house. So there's certain conditions. It's to the rear of your house and it can't project out. So a front porch would be different. If it's at the front of your house, you would need planning.
So regardless of the size, any kind of front porch requires...
Front. Yeah, anything to the front of your house. They are bringing in exemptions for roof lights now at the front and et cetera, but as far as I know, front porch, you would need planning.
Bought a 1970s house. We don't have a big budget. Everywhere needs to be renovated. Where will we start? God.
Bit by bit is what I would say.
Room by room?
Not room by room. I would kind of say, okay, if it's a 1970s bungalow, nothing's been done to it, the first thing I would look at is probably the windows, you know. After that, then I would go to the walls and look at how I'm going to insulate them, whether it's external insulation or internal insulation. Mm. Attic is always a great place. It's not a really expensive way of insulating, but like it does bring kind of huge results quite quickly. Mm. So I would look at kind of the fabric of the building from a thermal point of view and wrap it.
We're going to have to leave it there for the moment. We'll have to get you both back again. Plenty of people looking to renovate. Patricia Power, Sarah Twigg Doyle, thanks a million to you both for joining us on the Home Squad here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.